GM, everybody, what is up? It is the Morning Mints. I am Hunter Orell, and we have a jam-packed one for you today. Headlines, for sure, being Portal, currently trading at over $2 on the OTC market, making it currently a 34x if you were in the early rounds, and even still, if you were in the public, all the way up to currently almost a 20x. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money out there currently if you got in on this and did not fade. And if you did farm this, it looks like you are going to cook quite the bag. We're probably going to see some six-figure airdrops here. There's still time. Don't miss out. It's going to be launching with Binance. We'll talk about that more on the show today. Also, trading red across the entire market. Everybody's holding their breath for NVIDIA earnings later today. That should be on the top of your mind and the number one thing that you're awaiting for. We have seen a lot of people go short. Also, the NFT market popping off currently. We're seeing a lot of projects that have been flat start to move. Sappy Seals leading the charge there all the way up to almost 2 ETH off of a 0.75 ETH floor just a few days ago. And we are seeing the AI narrative pick up even more. Why I think AI art is still underpriced, and when that narrative kicks in, what pieces you should own. We'll highlight a few in just a moment here. So good to see everybody. What's up? Welcome back. Hope everybody enjoyed their holiday weekends. If you are just joining in for the first time, my name is Hunter Orell. I host a daily show here on X as well as on YouTube. You can find that link basically, I think it's in my bio. It's so good to see you. You can throw a chat in. We are going to answer chats and go over everything as well as we move forward. We're going to start by looking at the market, talk about a few things. We'll hop straight into some of that AI art, and then we'll talk a little bit about Bitcoin ETF and some other nice things around Blast that I think should be highlighted. But yeah, crazy market so far today. Currently, we are red everywhere. Just a quick little look at everything that we're seeing. Currently, we are, in the last 24 hours, seeing a lot of red. Binance, BNB, the only thing currently, aside from Tron, that's looking decent. The most of the market, the risk market, currently pulling back purely on people waiting for NVIDIA. And why that matters so much is because of how much of a direction that will give for where we are going, especially on the risk market and the technology market. As you can see, everything is down between 5 and 15%. Some things hit harder than others. I think this is a good time to go and look at your charts. A lot of things are moving towards support levels. I know ETH Sol chart currently looks pretty solid. It's right around support. Blur has pulled all the way back to 70 cents, 69 cents currently. And we are seeing more things move towards these support levels. It is a good chance to go and buy the dip. If you do take a second, we'll talk a lot about this a little bit later in the show, which is there's so many things propelling us forward. If you are truly bullish and you aren't just trading and selling red candles, there are a lot of opportunities currently for you to get a DCA. I will note that we do have the halving coming up. We do have more inflows for Bitcoin ETFs. We do have Ethereum ETF ahead of us. We have some big airdrops coming. We have so much ahead of us that is going to put demand, and it's going to also reduce supply, basically pushing the price up. So keep that on the mind. Yeah, like I said, there's opportunity out there. When you see red, that's when you should be buying, in my opinion. I'll be putting some buys in today, for sure. Real quick on the NFT market, just want to go over a few things that are probably the most important things, which are Sappy Seals, all the way up to 1.7 airdrop, and other rumors there. We also are seeing that same thing play out on RecGuy. We saw a huge sweep with what they are doing with the wrecked drinks and what they are doing with the equity for the company and what they are doing and receiving on airdrops. So you've seen this play out Pudgies, and I think this is going to be a meta that turns out to be a very large part of this cycle, which is prominent communities that have active users, power users, wealthy users, a very active and vibrant community are going to be the ones that receive the airdrops from a lot of these projects as they try to onboard the people that are the most active and also the most influential within the space. That's why last cycle we saw Bored Ape Yacht Club was getting so much love, and the demand there was because of the influence that they had within the timeline, currently that being Pudgy Penguins. We'll also highlight that Pudgy Penguins is still within a few ETH of Bored Ape Yacht Club, currently trading at 20.25 ETH. Bored Ape Yacht Club just out of reach at 21.95. Yesterday, Pudgy Penguins, and I forgot to pull this up for the stream, Pudgy Penguins announced, and I do own one of these, Pudgy Penguins announced a re-signing with Walmart to put their toys into stores, all 3,500. A massive, massive congrats to Luca. That is a big undertaking. And Walmart does not just do that out of the kindness of its heart. And they do not just do that because it's Web3. They do it because the product sold. The inventory space on those shelves is basically liquid gold. So they're not just doing it for fun. They are a business at the end of the day, and they are making a business decision. So cool to see. We are seeing Doodles currently still around their 3 ETH floor. Very, very strong consolidation area. We are seeing a lot of bids right at 3, so I don't expect them to pull under 3 unless there is a farmer or whale that dumps through. But I think then they'll be bought up pretty quickly. On another note real quick. And I do have to highlight these two collections because of what I think is going to happen during this cycle with AI art. We did see CDM. He did tweet out at a bunch of DAOs and a bunch of large collectors yesterday about this collection. I will give a hat tip to Marky Metaverse for flagging this to me right after these minted. I did pick up one or two, and I just picked up another one yesterday. But Die with the Most Likes has dropped this months and months ago. I think this launched like December, maybe actually even before that, like October. But it is AI generated art, which is a narrative on the stuff on Rothko, essentially with a very hilarious kind of like trait attributes of beef. If you know anything about Die with the Most Likes, he has a very, I don't know how to put this, but a very interesting, meme-y kind of like go against the norm, type art style and also narrative. And he's not afraid to talk shit. But what I think we have here is an amazing AI project that a lot of great AI collectors have bought, but it also kind of went against the norm of what we've seen, like artists trying to pander to galleries, artists trying to put out like the nicest looking piece of art. This was just pure up, like it was a performance art. I think you had to, I won't go into some of the details. You can Google the Beef Brothko mint, but it was performance art to mint these, and they really did try to make it as anti-traditional art and anti like high society as possible. And so for that anti-narrative plus being AI, a lot of large collectors have bought this. As we've seen Flamingo DAO and others sweep these floors, it has become a decent kind of cornerstone within the AI art collecting market. And I do expect these to have more demand as more people get this on their radar. Again, disclosure, I own some, but within the AI art scene, which I do collect and I am pretty prominently like researching and talking to creators within the space, from Pindar Van Armen to Claire Silver to, again, like Die with the Most Likes. These are pieces that I think have a great future ahead of them. And if you look into some of the narrative, it is pretty funny. The other one that I got a lot of crap for talking about, and also the reason I'm allowed to talk about AI art with a little bit of authority, besides just being like, hey, I'm a collector and I know the space, is that I basically ran, I did run a AI division for 3 years, and I know quite a bit about the technology. And actually, this was one that I bought purely because the Align Draw model was one that I originally learned on when I was starting out becoming an artificial artificial intelligence engineer. And so this was purely just, I bought it because it was funny to me and kind of emotional attachment. But what we saw was this absolutely ripped. And if you look at the timeline and if you look at the investment thesis behind this, that these are the first generated images that were done with a GAN model. And not to get too technical, but if we go all the way to what we just saw a couple of days ago with Sora, this is the rookie card. This is the rookie card of Sora. All the stuff that OpenAI is doing with images to Sora's video was able to be done because of the images in this collection that were generated. These were the first essentially things to be generated by a computer. The fact that these were put up for sale, the fact that these were by the originator and the original engineer blessed, is a significant piece of history. And I think that as we see AI and generative art, or AI generated art and AI generated video and AI, whatever it might be, this will always be looked to as the big bang moment where the first model was done. So another collection that should be on your radar, I mentioned this, the Beef Broth goes, Claire Silver is another great one that should be looked at. Pindar Van Arman is another one that should be looked at. Brain Drops is an incredible platform that should be looked at. We actually are going to have Justin, the founder of Brain Drops, come on and talk at some point in the coming week or two. I don't think it's going away. I don't think it's a fad. We'll definitely see more auctions within traditional art houses for AI art, but I think we'll also see more demand within the markets as people see it as a sector to get exposure to. Jumping into Savvy Seals real quick, as I mentioned, we did see these rip all the way from their lows of 0.75, which pretty solid consolidation floor. A lot of news on these around airdrops as well as other opportunities. And you know, I will say this again, we are, as doodles have moved up, as other old collections have moved off of their floors, we've seen Cool Cats get a little of attention. The communities that have stuck around, and again, shout out to 555, my personal community, for sticking around through the bear. There is something to be said that those projects and communities are positioned for success because they're still very active. And the holders are pretty much at the point of like diamond hand of they're not going to sell. They're there because they like the community. They like the art. They like what the project stands for. And they will be rewarded as more people look around and as that project builds. But the other coins and other projects as they're launching are looking for the most engaged communities. And so there is a lot of value there to look back and see what communities are super active, are hustling for tokens, allocations, for allow list, etc., because they'll be recognized. And I do think that there'll be more airdrop opportunities for those projects. So just a note. Let's hop into some other big news, not NFT related, but gaming and token related. We did get a massive announcement this morning from Binance and Portal Coin announcing that Portal Coin would be deploying or available on the Binance launch pool. This was a very, and also I have to disclose this before I talk anymore, but I am an angel investor in Portal. So, take anything I say with a grain of salt, understand that I have investor bias here, but I'm not going to go too crazy with it, which is Portal Coin was very, 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 polarizing because of the way that they did their marketing for a lot of people. Some people did not like the farming techniques of doing things on the timeline and the retweeting and the comments. At the end of the day, it was almost a performance of marketing, and it's done a very well job, very, very good job of getting people to understand and recognize that it exists. On the technology side, which is the reason to invest or buy something, they are doing something that we haven't seen, which is merging, finding a way to interconnect all these different games, allow there to be interoperability at an incredible scale, and also take away some of the issues that we are seeing on the governance side, or and being able to take custody of certain items. So they're doing a lot. And their partnerships speak for that. They've onboarded a ton of games, and obviously their partnerships with their launch partners for the token speak very strongly for what they're doing. I don't think you're going to see this leave your timeline because of where it's trading at. Now, currently OTC is trading at just about $2. This puts your fully diluted market, your FTV, somewhere around $2 billion to $2.5 billion. Depending on, you know, where that settles at. If you did invest in this, you are up significantly. If you were in the public sale, you are up significantly. If you farm this, I believe you're going to get a very solid airdrop. Everybody's asking me, do I sell on OTC? Do I take some profit? What do I do here? I think everybody's situation is unique. If you are in a comfy position and you can let this ride, I don't see why you wouldn't let that happen, all right? Because there's going to be so much attention. There's going to be a lot of people and projects looking to, again, if they have all the attention, people are using stuff, and there are is a way to get users into your ecosystem, more games and more protocols are going to approach this, and you will see more onboarding. Again, attention and where the users are and the gaming ecosystem currently, that is liquid gold. And that's why you see these gaming guilds do so well, is because they have these people in the Philippines and other countries that are scholars of theirs that are able to be deployed and immediately give users to certain protocols and certain games. And so in this case, if you are able to onboard a game into Portal, I believe that you'll see a large influx of users to that game. And so many games are going to go to Portal and be like, hey, we'd love to be able to get some of your users. That's a bull thesis there. On the other hand, if you are basically running this as a, like, hey, I really, really need the money, then, you know, I'm not going to tell you to hold and don't sell in Diamond Hand. You need to make smart financial decisions. That's as much as this is a commentary on, what I think will happen at the end of the day, you need to do what makes the most sense for you. So keep that on your radar. You're definitely going to see it in your timeline, understand what it is. And even though there was a lot on the timeline and a lot of people do have opinions because of how they did their marketing, understand the core technology and what it actually does, because you should not fade things based on others' opinions, nor on basically how they marketed. That doesn't make any sense. I did have to highlight this, which is very important, which is that while Bitcoin ETFs did yesterday slow down for the first time in like five, six, seven last week, actually even more than that. Wow, not even since like February 9th, it's been up. But the first real down day for Bitcoin inflows, possibly because of the holiday, but I do think we are going to see this trend continue of strong inflows. Grayscale obviously has slowed down considerably from where they were at the start. And I think this also spells a very strong sign for how each of these individual entities is going to continue to act. Obviously, Fidelity has been buying every single day, as you can see indicated by the green. We've also seen that BlackRock has been buying more and more every single day. And I am expecting for VanEck, as well as Franklin Templeton, to also start increasing their acquisition sizes as they figure out their internal strategies. I think it's also important to understand that retail has not fully come in yet. And so this is not, while we are seeing this purchasing, while we are seeing a lot happen, and a lot of people are seeing the price of Bitcoin retract, I still don't think we've seen the true effects of this ETF. And I do think that if you take a step back and look at other ETF launches and how they've impacted other industries, that Bitcoin, as it gets more of a narrative and retail comes in and as it starts getting sold, it will be, again, a buying factor and demand factor for the market. Also, another Dune chart that I wanted to highlight here on the demand side is Blast. Now, yesterday during the show, I mentioned that Blast was likely going to cross the 2 billion mark as we approach the blast off and the event and TGE and airdrop. I did say that this would probably start to go parabolic again closer to that date because of the reduced restriction on people's capital. I also think that obviously as we approach that, it's more and more diminishing returns, less time, but also more staked or more bridged in. What we have seen in the last 48 hours is a little bit of an up ramp. And I don't think this chart is fully updated. I tried to update it before the show, but we have seen a little bit of an up ramp over the last couple of days. And we are approaching that $2 billion mark. I think it's about 1.9 or yeah, it's 1.8 billion TVL currently. The other thing I mentioned was to note the total users and total transactions. We'll see this number, I think, start to diverge as we see more people. At I think right around this period is where the smart money is going to start to move in size, which is they've bridged over, you know, 25 ETH, and they're looking at it, and they have a spreadsheet up, and they understand bridging another 25 or another 50 and only locking that up for 2 to 2.5 months until May comes. Bridging over another 25 ETH does have a decent return rate on it if they're not going to use that money. And it is a pretty risk-free bet at this point. The one thing I will ask is I'm thinking about putting out an entire video on the top 10 projects on Blast that are being built that you should be testnet working on, as well as the ones that you should be engaging with after launch that'll have probably the highest returns. I'm also thinking about doing something on the top like 3 or 5 coins that'll be on Blast. If that's something you guys want to see, let me know. Like, just drop a chat. Let me leave a comment. That would help. I am thinking about doing that, but I'm not sure how much interest there would be in that. I have talked to about 35 companies. I am pretty strong on the company side. Who's going to do the best? I have made some angel investments there. And I am basically going to risk it all on Blast, if that makes sense. And so as much as I'm bullish on this, understand there's a financial component against it, but it's also a pretty calculated bet based on what I see on the TVL side, their incentives to stick around within the protocol, as well as the teams and where they are from and where that talent is from and their previous projects that they've done, what they're building and how they will incentivize keeping people around, as well as differentiating from current products that we see. I think we'll see a lot of DEXs, but I don't think we will see, you know, a Uniswap clone or fork really set apart from what we see on other chains. But I do think adding additional utility, additional yield, and additional features on top of that, like we saw Jupe do with the DCA function, that is going to be what keeps people within the ecosystem and sets it apart and raises the standard. So that's what should be on your radar for sure. I would just hopping in real quick to a couple other points. I did mention on the demand side, we're about to enter a very unique period here. We have 3, 4, 5 huge things ahead of us, right? Like we have the portal, TGE, we have Frame coming out, which is going, it's supposed to be an amazing NFT marketplace. We also have an airdrop claim here. We have Endless Clouds and Treeverse launch TGE event for Clouds probably right around the corner. We also have the Bitcoin halving, and we have the ETH ETF. There is so much coming here. There's so much happening. And it is going to get a little tricky to keep track of. It's why probably finding a group of people to chat with and keep track of these things is so important right now. So if your internal community isn't helping you out, go find one. That's why my community, like we chat every day. And if you aren't, at least reach out to like a couple friends, set up a Telegram group, get in a text chat. Do that. It's a little bit easier. This is not something you can do on your own. The other thing, and this is, you know, pretty standard, is get a notebook, just write shit down. Super simple. A lot of people are just on Twitter all day tweeting and, you know, bookmarking stuff, like, or get a post-it note, do something, write on your hand. I don't know. Stop missing shit though. Frame claim should be right around the corner. This should be a nice little bit of stimmy for everybody. Just don't forget about this. It is something that I forgot about until I was reading through some notes last night, so I thought I would mention it. Treeverse and Endless Clouds, the company, are going to be right around the corner for their TGE event. Make sure that you are paying attention for updates here. We haven't seen an update in 21 days from Endless Cloud, so I am expecting them to have something right around the corner here. If you are looking at tokens within their ecosystem, obviously with no update and a little bit of quiet, there's always an interesting moment for them. As far as Bitcoin halving goes, another highlight on a date just to keep track of. Bitcoin halving is about 57 days away. Time is crunching. Understand, again, there's a lot of stuff all about to happen. May is going to be a crazy month. We are expecting to see this within 57 days. We are expecting to see Blast within the next, I think it's 70 days away until May. And then we are, again, expecting in May some announcements around the ETH ETF. Now, the ETH ETF is what has been mainly surging the price recovery of ETH back towards its all-time highs, but also recovering ETH from lagging behind everything else that we saw lagging. As we saw Bitcoin rip and other alts rip, ETH basically just sat around in the low 2000s, mid-2000s, and didn't do much. Now, as we see Templeton and we see other VanEck and Fidelity and others start to apply for the ETF, there is of course more demand for ETH and people trying to front run the obvious retail and consumer base starting to buy into ETH. A lot of people, it's very interesting, a lot of people that I talk to are still not rotated into ETH. They're still trading in shitcoins, they're still trading in memes, they're still trading in NFTs and other chains, and they don't have as much exposure to ETH as I think they should. At the end of the day, I will say this once, I'll say this twice, I'll say it forever. I think at the end of the day, too many people are trying to figure out what the next ETH is. And again, I'm going to steal this from DC Investor because he's spot on and I agree, and he's a wealth of information. But the next ETH is ETH. There is no, you have to understand that there is such a difference in brain power, in expertise, and in, I think, the design of what Ethereum is and what has been built off of it, that there is not something that can just pop up tomorrow and replace it. There is so much being built on top of it. The security layer and the layer twos, and settlement layer, etc., are not something you can just overnight poof up. And I am expecting for Ethereum to have, again, a wonderful cycle. I have talked about the risk reward of Bitcoin and that possibly being a better play. Obviously, if you are more in tune with the market and you're doing your research and you are aligning your risk reward and your diversification correctly, you can take on riskier positions. And Ethereum, in my opinion, is a little bit riskier of not performing as well, but does have the potential, if certain things do click, if we do see certain theories play out, to well outperform Bitcoin this cycle. So there are optionalities there. You do need to make that decision your own. I could talk about it on another stream and prepare some information how I'm approaching it. And I guess just disclosure on how I'm approaching it, I'm pretty much 50-50 Bitcoin, Ethereum, and then a lot of my Ethereum is leveraged through NFTs that are, I would consider, pretty stable. And then obviously the Penguin is kind of my one YOLO play this cycle on a PFP that is not going to just appreciate as demand is, and there is a actual e-com, social, airdrop, gaming component to it, where something like a Punk is just, it is provenance to digital art and generative art and the PFP industry. That is what you should have on your brain today, and that's what you should have on your radar. I do think that there's a lot that's going to happen this afternoon with the NVIDIA earnings. If we hit them and we exceed them, we're going to see everything bounce and we'll see a very strong performance in all markets. If we miss, just shut the laptop. Shut the laptop, walk away, get a nice bottle of wine, get a nice whiskey, chill, but also look for those dollar cost opportunities. that's probably the best option to do. Everybody, thank you for joining again. Thank you for tuning in. as always, leave some comments. Let me know what you think of this. If you aren't subscribed on YouTube, go check that out. To the X people that are watching, thank you so much for joining in for the show. It means a lot. And we will catch you on the next show tomorrow at 11 a.m. As always, I'm Hunter Orell. This is the Morning Mint. We'll catch you. Peace.